Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day, America. Are we entering a golden age? That's what President Trump told us. He said we're entering a golden age. Do you think he meant that we're entering an age where we use gold as money? I hope so. That's a big project we work on. That's what we call pirate money. And I've been working towards that a long time, since I was 10 years old. That's why I wrote the book, Pirate Money. And joining me in this endeavor, both on the radio and in daily practice, is my colleague, dear friend, Mike Carter. I've known him for nearly 40 years. Mike, do you remember what I said I wanted to be when I grew up?
I do, because you're the first person I ever met that said this. I mean, I've had friends that say, I want to be president of the United States, or I want to be a senator, or I want to be a CEO executive. But you wanted to be in charge of the Federal Reserve because they had the ultimate control and power.
Yeah, not anymore. I wanted to take the Federal Reserve back to gold. I don't think that's practical anymore. But I do think that we can take the United States back on a state-by-state basis,
yes,
just like the Constitution talked about.
And we're seeing that now across America. It's exciting to see the momentum building, states passing gold and silver as legal tender, states working to take it all the way to transactional, states working to say, all right, how do we set up a depository? How do we set up rainy day funds? These things are happening all over America. And this is definitely a movement. This is definitely something that's happening, and it's exciting to see what God's opening up here.
And it's happening in a big way in the state where we first met, going back to Oklahoma, you know, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. You know, and we've got on the show today, we've got some great people. Representative Cody Maynard from Oklahoma is a state representative, a bank CEO, Sean Copeland, and also from Oklahoma, the state treasurer, Todd Russ. And we're going to be talking pirate money. And speaking of money, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that produces liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. They operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, that's our sister show on Blaze TV, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, Mike, we just celebrated. We were with Ken Ivory recently and celebrating a huge win that he had in Utah. Can you explain what happened? Because that was a nail-biter. And
if there was a Super Bowl in legislation, this would be the equivalent to that. Now, there's a lot of boring overtime, a lot of boring plays in between. But this last session that they had before they closed out, we had a midnight deadline. And Representative Ivory had been working on a piece of legislation that's going to allow the state to pay their vendors in gold. It sets up a great precedent in establishing legal tender as establishing gold as legal tender. And, you know, we thought everything was good. We've seen great support, all these study reports they've done in Utah. Everything was clicking along fine. And then the politics of legislation and just the politics of politics kicked in. We're like, why is it not on the floor yet? Or why has it not gotten a vote yet? Where is it at? And we started early in the evening, and it got to be 8:30, and it still wasn't up. And we're like, his third priority is listed, but not his first priority. What's happening here? And we decided at that time, we said, hey, let's pray about this. We're going to pray this through. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. And we believed in faith it would happen, and then we watched as nothing happened again. And substitute bills were coming in, more and more substitute bills. I literally got with my daughter. We prayed over that. She goes, you know what? He needs to continue to stand for truth, let go and let God. And miracle will still happen tonight. And sure enough, as we got to that final clock, about 11:50 at night, my daughter and wife were watching a movie. I'm watching the session online on my phone, trying to listen to what bills are up and so forth. 11:50, it finally gets submitted to the Senate. It's passed. Subject to the House approving the resolution, I'm celebrating, and then I get a note from the treasurer, what has to be approved by the House. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's probably next week. No, but it's midnight. Literally, Representative Ivory's running across to the House side. We got it. But it wasn't done yet. And then they run back, get the final bill registered that was stamped there, get it registered in. gets it put forth on the floor, and with 1 minute to spare, it's voted and passed. It was a God thing, and we're seeing that happening across America.
We saw that. You know, Representative Ivory came and visited us here afterwards celebrating. In fact, he flew in. We had a banquet celebration of Pro-Life FinTech, which is another project that we've worked on. We're seeing some wins mm-hmm. in various places, and Pro-Life FinTech, speaking there was Nick Vujicic, who is a man born without arms and legs that was debanked, and he said, I want to build a bank that people can't kick me out of. Then we had Sean Copeland, mm-hmm. Who was the founder of Regent Bank, and by the way, he's going to be on the radio program today. Charlie Kirk, the great Charlie Kirk, and then we had General Mike Flynn phoned it in because he was called by the president to be in D.C., so he had to make a video for us, but we had a great...
And we had Kevin Freeman speaking at that as well. It was kind of fun to see the line of people at the Step and Repeat station to get their picture taken with the author of Pirate Money, and again, people asking questions about that and saying, how do we get this done in our state?
Well, you know, I'm so excited that Utah passed this. That was a big thing. I was a vendor to Utah a few years back. I wrote the Utah Fiscal Risk Commission study that showed what the federal government was going to do with our debt. It's terrible, and warned Utah and gave them the plans, which include what they're doing now, just laid out plans. How does Utah protect against this? And I worked with Ken Ivory, Representative Ivory, back then, and working with him again now. But I likened it. I said to him, I said, Ken, I felt like you were in the NBA playing for the Utah Jazz or something, and you rush in, and there's like 1 second left on the clock, and you lob it up three quarters of a court, and it goes in, swish, and you win the game. That's what it was like watching that.
Yeah, you know, another part that's significant about this legislation, I mean, they're paying their vendors in gold. It's not the complete transactional for everybody, but that'll be the next step. But they're doing it electronically. They're using the same systems that are setting things up for this to be the transactional gold and silver legislation.
They're laying the foundation for it. I wish I could have been paid in gold. They paid me, you know, decently. What was that, 2016 or something when I wrote that report for them? They paid me decently for it, but nothing like if I had been paid in gold and kept it in gold. Man, I'd have had three times as much money today.
Yeah.
So Utah did a great study, and we were part of that study committee. I was honored to be on that with Randy Quarles, a former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, the head of the Utah Bankers Association, a top Citigroup banking official. We interviewed people like Thomas Hoenig from Kansas City Fed, who was on the open market. I mean, brilliant people. And the conclusion of the study, I've got it right here, it says, the Constitutional Legal Foundation addressed by the work group provides a strong basis for gold as legal money, once again eliminating federal capital gains taxes on gold transactions. That's an official study from the Utah Treasurer's Office.
And, you know, that report, they did such a good job of getting thought leaders like yourself there, banking, Federal Reserve people, all types of backgrounds, but all with each specialty, and they came to that conclusion. And this report is one that other states are even looking at and saying, wow, okay, this is really real. This is not just some idea of the month. This is significant. And so we thank Utah for the work they've done, not only on this, but legislation that's moved forward and so forth.
Yeah, well, and state treasurers are phenomenal. We've been working with them directly and indirectly, whether it's Florida, with Jimmy Patronis as chief financial officer, or in Louisiana, Dr. Fleming, or Oklahoma, Treasurer Todd Russ, he's the first we worked with. And Oklahoma is doing phenomenal things here. They've made gold and silver legal mm-hmm. tender. And we've got Representative Cody Maynard coming on to the program, who's got the legislation in the Oklahoma House. It passed unanimously in a committee or subcommittee or something. We'll talk with him about his legislation. And then we'll talk with Treasurer Todd Russ. He wrote a letter for us very early on saying, this is intriguing, I want to learn more. And he was an important advocate to help us get Marla Oaks in Utah, where they just passed that legislation. So we're very excited. Mike, you've been working with all these people directly.
Yeah. Very exciting to see what's happening, and excited for the show. The next segment's coming up. Great guests.
All right, you got to stay tuned, because you do not want to miss Representative Cody Maynard. He's a brilliant guy, and he's going to bring an inflation solution to Oklahoma and America.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're happy to have as our guest Representative Cody Maynard from the great state of Oklahoma. That's my birth state. I love that state. He represents House District 21 in the Oklahoma House of Representatives. He was born in Texas, so he's the opposite. He was born in Texas, lives in Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma, live in Texas. And he graduated from Abilene Christian University, great school, with Bachelor of Business Administration, double major in accounting and financial management. Upon graduation, he earned his master's in accountancy in 2009. Then in 2012, he got his CPA. He's a Chamber of Commerce member, serves on Victory Life Academy lead team, Keep Durant Clean and Green, and Durant is a clean and green city, so he's doing a good job there. Served Durant and volunteered at Women in Need. He's just a tremendous guy. Welcome, Representative Maynard, to Pirate Money Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Kevin. It is truly an honor to be on the show with the person who wrote the book of Pirate Money for the bill I'm carrying. So a pleasure to be here with you today.
And what's your bill number?
So my bill is House Bill 1197. It is a transactional gold and silver bullion depository for the state of Oklahoma.
Wow, fantastic.
And great leadership there. I didn't realize about all your financial background, finance, accounting, CPA. No wonder you're the leader on this thing. You understand money and you understand finance. I'm sure the citizens of Oklahoma appreciate this. What's the pulse you're getting on the ground from folks in Oklahoma right now on this?
Yeah, so far, I mean, I haven't had any opposition come out. We've had pretty good support in the House. We're getting some momentum in the Senate side. I do anticipate getting this on the House floor very, very soon. We're doing floor sessions right now. And so yesterday I spent my time advocating before our leadership team for this bill and got a very positive response. So I think we are waking up as a country with the massive amounts of inflation that we all experienced just from COVID 2020 on. And so since then, people have really been paying attention that they've been saying that the price of everything is going up. And what I keep rephrasing to everyone is the truth is the value of your dollar went down. That's what actually happened. An egg is still an egg. A gallon of milk is still a gallon of milk. But the federal government has been printing dollars at a breakneck speed. And when you do that, you devalue the dollar. So you know, that's really what I'm rephrasing for people. And what I love doing, I carry a silver piece dollar with me. This is from 1923, the year my grandfather was born. And in 1923, you could go to the store and you could buy about 10 loaves of bread with this single dollar. Today, this dollar silver content's worth $25, and you could still buy 10 loaves of bread today. So the value of gold and silver have held their purchasing power, but the dollar has not. And so that is what I'm advocating for people is let's go back to a hard money standard, something that the government can't print away and that we can rely on.
Well, you got it passed unanimously out of committee, right? And you've got good support. Have you done any, you know, individual polling just to check what you're feeling? Do people tell you, I want this, I need this, once they understand it?
So in Oklahoma this year, we've got a new committee structure. We have subcommittees and oversight committees, and then we go to the floor. So the subcommittee on policy, I got that through unanimously. The oversight committee, it did go 13-3. So we did have three dissenters on that. And then I would say that when I'm talking to people, you know, when I'm out and about and just saying, hey, here's what I'm working on, it is shocking the amount of people that are telling me that they have physical gold and silver that they are holding and that they are all for this. So I've been going around and just talking to members one-on-one about my bill, and I've been getting a very positive response that they don't see any reason why we shouldn't do this.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people hold gold and silver, and then people oppose it. Oh, no, everybody's going to take their money out of the banks and put it in gold and silver. And yet they're already putting it in gold and silver. We want to put it back into the banking system. So we ran Prop 7. What were the results on Proposition 7?
We did 77%, 1.7 million people saw this on the ballot and said, yes, I want to make gold transactional again. And you know, that transactional component, people have gold, but how do they spend it? What do they do with it? And your bill, your legislation is so critical to making this functional money. You guys have done a phenomenal job. We had the study committee this summer up in Oklahoma. Had a lot of interest there, and certainly have great support we've seen with Treasurer Russ and Senator
Bullard.
He's
going to be on the show later today.
Yeah, it's great to have him. I mean, Oklahoma is a leader on this, and you were one of the early adopters in Oklahoma to make gold and silver legal tender. It's only natural that they get the transactional piece in place. And we're certainly feeling the momentum of what's happening there. I did have a question. You know, I liked your analogy with that silver dollar and bread. With egg prices going up like there, I thought maybe we could have a golden egg, and maybe that'll be another analogy. I don't know.
But, where do we find the goose?
I'm still trying to find that.
You know, the funny thing is, even though the price of eggs has gone up, I actually did run it for eggs, and it's actually very comparable. You could buy a six cartons of eggs in 1923, and you could buy about 5 to 6 today, still with the value of the silver in this coin. So even with the price of eggs going up, it has held purchasing value. And, you know, the fun thing is, people don't realize this. Many people don't, that Costco has been selling physical gold bars in their stores for about the last year and a half. They're selling $100 to $200 million a month. They actually had to limit their members to 5 bars apiece because they were selling out so fast. And so people have just, they haven't realized the amount of demand that's out there. And here's what I'm letting everybody know is, everyone knows gold and silver is valuable. It's just not very usable right now. And that's why this bill is so critical, is we're in an age where we have the technology to be able to spend gold and silver easily anywhere at any time around the world. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do that, because our founding fathers believed in a bimetallic monetary system. They left it to us in Article 1, Section 10, that gold and silver was left as legal tender to the states. And I think it's high time that states start taking the authority that was left to us by our founding fathers, and we use the system that they gave us.
Yeah, we just had phenomenal legislation in Utah pass on Friday at 11:59, or just before the midnight shutoff, which allows Utah to pay their vendors in gold, which essentially sets up gold as legal tender, sets that precedent to say this is legal tender. And that's a huge, huge step for Utah, and a huge step, I think, for the country, as we see states starting to implement and say, this is legal tender. How do we get it back into the system again?
Well, this Oklahoma legislation goes further, though, because it's not just the vendor that benefits. Everybody gets to go out and spend gold and silver if they want. That's the problem. You represent Maynard. You pointed it out. I can go to Costco and I can buy a 1 ounce gold bar, and it's, you know, costs about $3,000. I can't turn around and go buy a washing machine at Costco with that gold bar. They won't take it. That's the funny thing. I was like, I just bought this from you. I want to spend it. I'm sorry, there's no returns on that. So what am I supposed to do? Bury it in the ground?
So exactly. And that is the whole aim of this, is we know it's valuable. It has been for 5,000 years. But where we're at today is, if you can buy from a store, but they won't take it back for anything, it's not being usable. And it's not hard to make it usable. We have all the technology there. There's companies that are doing this right now. And, you know, many people have asked me the question, well, if a private company can do this, why should the state do it? Which is a great question to be asking. And to me, that comes down to a few things. Number one, the main one is trust. In 1933, very few people remember history that gold was confiscated from all U.S. citizens in 1933. The federal government put out an executive order, made it illegal for citizens to own gold. But states have sovereign immunity from that order. It did not apply to a state. And so that's what I'm letting everybody know. If the state is your trustee of your gold and an order like that ever came back out, your gold and silver is safe with us. That would not be the same with a private institution. So trust is a huge factor that I think people have overlooked when we're talking about why should a state be involved in setting up a gold and silver transactional reserve.
You know, Kevin, taxes, that's one thing that really bothers me. I'm trying to do the right thing financially, be prepared. And then you look at the way the tax system is set up on gold right now. It's a collectible. I'm taxed at 28-30%, you know, significantly higher than stocks. That's a whole nother reason. If this becomes functional money, functional currency, to have transactional gold and silver, not only in Oklahoma, but across America right now.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great thing, Representative Maynard, for your citizens, because it is ridiculous. Gold and silver, as you pointed out in the Constitution, it's money under Article 1, Section 10, and yet the federal government thinks they can get a piece of every Oklahoman savings. I think that's just wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things as somebody who deals in taxes, realizing, number one, we are taxing gold and silver at a collectible rate, 28%. We're doing it even higher than capital gains taxes. And so you have that factor, but also what we are truly taxing is when we inflate the U.S. dollar, so the dollars become worth less, so the price of gold or silver has gone up, we then are taxing people on inflation. So when they exchange their gold or silver, we're deciding we're going to tax them on it, which is absolutely, in my opinion, completely unconstitutional. As you just said, this is legal tender inside our Constitution. Why in the world should it be allowed to be taxed when we have a Constitution that says it's legal tender?
You know, what you just said, if people stopped and thought about it, the federal government creates the inflation with their excess debt and money printing, and then they profit from that inflation. It gives the government more money to spend or helps offset their spending. This is just wrong. Why does the government profit from our inflation? And you've got a bill that's going to stop that for any Oklahoman that wants to use gold and silver.
That's right. I have a second bill. So House Bill 1199 says that any gold and silver, whether it is a coin or is silver and gold bullion, that it will be exempt from all taxes and be declared as legal tender. And I have provisions that make it usable in contracts again. So gold and silver clauses were very common back in the early 1900s before gold was confiscated. And this bill puts that back into law and makes gold and silver usable in contracts if you and I want to agree to that.
How does the state benefit? Does it benefit the state overall if you do this?
You know, to me, the total benefit is really to just the citizens. It allows citizens to transact in the currency of their choice. The state has no involvement in that bill. This is literally just saying if two parties want to transact in gold and silver, they can do so legally and through contracts, and the state won't tax them.
That's great. Well, where can people learn more about the work you're doing?
If you want to learn more, you could always, again, follow me on Facebook. You can look up Maynard4OK on Facebook, or you can look up my website, CodyMaynard.com. And I'd be happy to fill y'all in with any information as we go through the process.
You know, we have a large listening audience in Oklahoma. The two bill numbers again, and if you can encourage everybody in Oklahoma, make sure that your legislative representatives know about this and support this. So what were those bills, bill numbers?
Yes. House Bill 1197 and House Bill 1199.
Well, thank you so much, Representative Maynard. It's great having you on Pirate Money Radio. We'll be right back with Oklahoma Banker right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we're talking about Oklahoma. We just had Representative Cody Maynard, who's got a bill in Oklahoma to make gold and silver transactional currency. They've already made it legal tender. We now have, and sometimes we get objections from bankers, and they say, well, you know, this would be a change, and we don't like change, and, you know, they worry about it. You know, and Representative Maynard made it very clear that Oklahomans need protection against inflation. And so, you know, we thought we'd talk with a banker. I was just speaking at an event where another speaker, we had Nick Vujicic, we had Charlie Kirk, we had General Mike Flynn, and we had Sean Copeland, who's joining us today on radio from Regent Bank. And Sean is the president of Regent Bank, has been since April 2008. He's one of the principal organizers of Regent Capital Corporation, the chairman of the board of directors, president, chief executive officer. He was formerly with Grand Bank, where he served as president and chief operating officer. And he's a member of the board of directors. He serves on the executive loan committee. He was also Oklahoma's secretary of commerce and workforce development. He holds many local and statewide leadership positions. And he's also on the board of Pro-Life FinTech with Nick Vujicic and Betsy Gray, and was speaking with me just this week. And welcome, Sean, to Pirate Money Radio.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Well, we had fun. Mike was there. Oh, yeah. We had a great event.
Pro-Life FinTech. What a big idea you're launching there. Very exciting to see with what's going on. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with that piece of it, because, you know, local banks, you know, we hear as we're working transactional gold and silver, the banks sometimes are afraid of this. But what we're trying to do is equip and strengthen the banks. And I think you capture that in multiple ways. What's going on, the importance of local banks out there. I started my first business in Tulsa, and I sat across from a banker, and I needed money at the time. I was a young kid, and he goes, you know, they say we don't make loans based on personal relationships anymore, but how much do you need? And it might not be quite that way, but I would have never got that business started had it been a big bank out there. I needed that local banking community. And what we're doing is trying to strengthen the banks with transactional gold and silver. You understand that. And I just hit you with a lot of different things there, both Pro-Life Bank and transactional gold. But tell us about the Pro-Life Bank, and then we'll walk back
into
it. Yes, Pro-Life FinTech, yes.
Pro-Life FinTech came about because I was on a podcast and Foundations of Freedom with Dave Diaz, and there was a gentleman from Texas, George Pond, who was listening in, and he was shocked that there was a faith-based bank. Region Bank is overtly faith-based, and the Lord has been very, very good to us. And so he called me just talking about the bank, and in the middle of our conversation, he said, "Hey, I need to introduce you. The Lord is telling me I need to introduce you to my friends, Betsy and Nick, who are starting a bank in Dallas." Well, that wasn't super exciting to me because we were starting a bank in Dallas, and helping my competitor wasn't really at the top of my to-do list for the day. But hey, if he said the Lord told him to tell me, so I said, sure. We jump on a Zoom call. It turns out to be Nick Vujicic. I had no idea who the Nick was that he was talking about. Nick had been a hero of mine my whole life, really, and we joined into this partnership. So we're the sponsor bank behind Pro-Life FinTech. They make all the decisions. So they develop the products, the rates. The customers really bank with them, but we are the support system behind that gives them FDIC insurance, the ability to use a check card, and handles all the compliance stuff that is needed. And so it's a really, really great partnership. And we had a great event Saturday night.
You know, it's kind of amazing because you mentioned that George Pond was out here with Nick Vujicic and Betsy Gray at our Liberty Hawk Ranch. And we were talking with him about transactional gold and silver. That's where they made that introduction. So all of this is God's plan, I believe, fit together. And Regent Bank and your role there. And really, we need your help, Sean, as we help explain to Oklahoma that this is what we're talking about with transactional gold is not a threat to banks. This is an opportunity for local banks to serve Oklahomans or in any state, really.
Yes, I agree. And I will be honest, Kevin, when I first heard this, it made me nervous as well, just because, you know, fiat currency with all of its weaknesses. It is expandable and contractible. It is flexible. There are some benefits to it. It allows us to leverage, from a shareholder perspective. However, I just got to tell you, a friend of mine showed me a graph that showed the value of cash versus the value of gold over the last 100 years, and it blew my mind. You just don't realize the devaluation that is occurring in our dollar because we're just living in it every day, you know. And we're just going, man, things seem more expensive. It just seems like it costs a lot more to do things now. Well, a lot of that is because of the devaluation of our currency, and so. Yeah, I tend to agree with Cody. I mean, it gives us a more stable monetary supply. I think this crazy inflation we've been experiencing, there's too many dollars in the system. I mean, we've just absolutely overheated our system by throwing too many dollars at it. Now, nobody can afford eggs. Nobody can afford anything anymore. And so you are right in that that's what the country was founded on. You made that point Saturday night. And I think that it will certainly take time. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that it will take time. But I think it's something that we need to carefully migrate toward. I think my last point, Kevin, would be the customer needs to decide. I mean, at the end of the day, if a customer, I mean, I'm a customer of Glint, your gold backed, you know, card. I don't have all my money in Glint. You've got to have some in a checking and a savings account, but the customer needs to be able to make that decision. If that's what they want to do, they need to be able to do that. So I think we should, as a banking community, we should not be scared of this. I think it's something we should embrace and work together in transition in a way that is good for everybody at the end of the day.
You know, I love that. It's optionality. People should have a choice and an option.
Right.
But why shouldn't they have the choice? Right now, if you're banking with Glint, and you're not really banking, you just happen to hold some gold in that form, but you're using a bank out of Ohio, wouldn't it be better for Oklahomans to have a bank in Oklahoma that they were able to work with? Wouldn't it be better if the gold weren't held in Switzerland, but it were held in Oklahoma? Wouldn't it be better if the technology was held in Oklahoma and not the United Kingdom? I mean, that's all we're talking about, simple legislation to make that possible so people can just pay for stuff. And also avoid taxes if you could have it as legal tender currency, which I think Representative Maynard's bill is great with that.
Yeah, I agree. He's very innovative. That's not his only innovative legislation that he is pushing this year. I'm very, very impressed with him. Didn't know him prior to this. But I think, and you know, Oklahoma and Texas tend to be in lockstep. You know, we're very similar. Obviously, we're the most conservative state in the country, I think. All 77 counties voted for President Trump. And so I think if anywhere would embrace something like this, honestly, it would be and should be Oklahoma.
It should be. Yeah. And just for clarification for any of our listeners, that Glint is not owned, or we're not connected or affiliated. We just use that as a proof of concept. But, you know, once people try the technology and see you can spend gold, that's revolutionary. Now we just want to make it practical for Oklahomans, for Texans, for Missourians, all people from all states. And Mike, you're seeing this.
Yeah, and I heard Nick and Betsy at the launch event, you know, they want to make transactional gold and silver a big part of this thing. Sean, I've heard that at Regent Bank. How do you see transactional gold and silver fitting into the banking system?
Well, again, I believe it should just be an option. My opinion is that if I'm a client, I just think it should be something that I am allowed to do. And if that's where I wish to, if that's how I wish to have my currency, that would be my suggestion.
Well,
if
people are taking money out of their bank and buying gold and sticking it in a safe in their house or whatever, that's not good for the banking system. But that's where we are now. People taking money out, buying gold and silver.
Right.
We think that money should be in the system, in the financial system that works so well in so many areas.
Yeah, and we see that money, people taking that money, then maybe going back and putting it into the gold, putting it into the system out there. You know, I have a card with gold on it, but I still do almost all my transactions in dollars because that's how things are measured in units and so forth. But it's nice to have some ready money set aside there just in case. So that's my optional ready money just in case something happens out there. But we see it making the dollar stronger as well as really giving people that optionality that we've talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's what the Federal Reserve former Vice Chairman Randy Quarles said in a report he produced for Utah. He said, this should be a choice. He actually took the exact same position that you're taking, Sean, as the president of And it's the logical position.
Yes. And I'm just like Mike. I function the same way. You know, it's not as, you know, it's not as readily transactional today just because so many people just take dollars. I think over time, though, I think it's not going to be that different than what we're seeing with, you know, cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and some of the other. I think as people become more comfortable, and it's just an understanding. A lot of this, in my opinion, is just education. It's just helping people understand it. And then once they do, I'm telling you, I didn't. And when I began to see, you know, the fall of the dollar and the fall of the value of the dollar, I was like, man, I need to enter this. I'm with you. It would be better that people didn't have to just take the money out, buy gold, and put it in a safe at their house. I mean, I'd much rather to stay in the system. So I've thought about this a lot, and I just don't see that giving clients that option should be a negative for anybody in our industry.
Well, some people fear the future, but the future is happening regardless of whether we fear it or not. And, you know, do we want to transact in Bitcoin or gold or dollars? People should have choices. The Constitution gives us one choice. Sean, where can people learn more about Regent Bank and ProLife FinTech?
Regent.bank is our website, and we're, of course, a full-service, primarily business bank. ProLife FinTech is prolifefintech.com, and they are primarily a personal online digital bank today. Both of them are
right. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you so much, Sean.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we've had the opportunity to hear from Representative Cody Maynard of Oklahoma. We talked to a banker in Oklahoma, Sean Copeland, who's formerly in the government as well. And now we have the 20th treasurer of Oklahoma, Todd Russ. He was elected to a four-year term in 2022 with a 65% of the vote, carrying all 77 counties. But his background includes being a president and CEO of a bank. In fact, I think he's the only candidate that ran that was a former CEO of a bank. He was back. He's got on his website 25 different bankers that supported him, including the Oklahoma Bankers Association. Treasurer Russ, we see you're in D.C. now. I hope you're giving them some good Oklahoma values and straightening them out working with the president.
Yes, we are. We're up here doing the business for the people.
Excellent. Well, you are the first treasurer across the country, and we've got a lot of great treasurers and state financial officers. You were the first one to actually show interest in our transactional gold and silver efforts. You wrote a nice letter that we used in Texas, and we're grateful for that. You know, tell us, what do you think when you hear Oklahomans saying, I want to use gold and silver as money again? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's become, you know, it's become a popular subject, and there's a lot of people interested in it. Inflation's definitely got them looking for alternatives, and a lot of people feel like that's one of them. I have no problem at all with investing in gold. I'm not advising anyone or having any role in influencing them either way, but I'm happy to facilitate that in the state of Oklahoma. It would be easy to do.
Yeah, well, it's excellent. Oklahoma has made gold and silver legal tender, didn't they,
yes,
Mike?
Yes, they're one of the leaders in that.
So that's great. And I don't think this is going to hurt banks to give people. That's what Sean Copeland just said. He said, why would it hurt banks to give people a choice of how they hold their money? What are your thoughts, Treasurer?
Yeah, I think there's a little misunderstanding in the banking industry about how that would happen and kind of the task that they may bear. And I don't think they realize how simple it really could be. And, you know, they approached me about it. I said, hey, let me try it. Let me do a pilot on it. And at the end of the day, it works well. You guys would end up being the leaders in this because it's just another alternative payment method, just like you do with credit cards and other things when it really all the details are worked out. So I think they're kind of trying to navigate what this process would look like for them. And I think they'll be surprised if we get this up and going.
It's just another way to pay, as you said. And, you know, we dealt with that. I was just talking to North Dakota. They have a state bank there. The financial institution group was talking and like, well, we don't know how we're going to handle gold and the vaults and our banks. And like, you're not going to have to touch any of that. This is all done electronically. It's all done through a vault. And then there was almost a sigh of relief. And so to the extent that we can fix those misunderstandings for banks and they can see how they can actually potentially profit from this, there'll be new banking services and so forth that innovative bankers will come up with. But we see the banks really getting stronger with the transactional gold and silver, not weaker.
And I think that, Treasurer, your sentiments were echoed by a CFO in Florida, Jimmy Patronis, Dr. Fleming, treasurer in Louisiana, and Marlo Oaks, the treasurer in Utah. You know, you all, State Financial Officers Foundation, you're a part of that. That's a tremendous group, and you're bringing real value to Oklahoma because you're working with your colleagues. And I think you're doing something similar to that in D.C. right now. You're working with the State Treasurers Association, kind of bringing some common sense to Washington.
You're right. Yeah, we've had those conversations up here yesterday and spent quite a bit of time talking about the process, helping some of the other new members understand kind of what we're thinking and how that might play out. And yes, certainly the State Financial Officers Foundation has probably been one of the leading think tank groups or influencers in the treasury arena, and have been great partners for people like me.
Yeah, I talked to your office yesterday in preparation, and they said you're working on three points up there: tax exempt bonds, shareholder proposals, and proxy voting for various state funds to ensure alignment of our state values, and America First investment policy aligning with our pro-business commitments. Can you comment on that? Let's start with the tax exempt bonds. What are you doing there in D.C.?
Yeah, there's been a conversation going around that they're talking about maybe doing away with the tax exempt status for bonding for infrastructure and those kinds of things. You know, there's two different thoughts on that. First of all, some people hear the word bond and think, well, that's debt. We don't need it. Get rid of it. As a senior commercial lender, it's kind of like, well, there's such a thing as bad debt and there's such a thing as good debt. We would be paralyzed without infrastructure bonding and the things that help us develop infrastructure for economic development, for water, sewer, all the things that have to be placed in and under the ground. That discount on those tax exempt status for those bonds is a huge incentive for people to invest into those economic development opportunities. If you take that tax exempt status off, you basically tax the communities and the states with a new tax to create these economic development infrastructure opportunities. So we're just trying to advocate as state treasurers here at Washington to reconsider if they're talking about stripping away that tax exempt status to leave that in place.
Well, I can say there's no one more conservative. You and I have had a lot of conversations at conferences and through the years. There's no one more conservative than Treasurer Todd Russ. And your position on this, I think, is absolutely right in terms of tax exemption. Because if you want to build infrastructure, that's good debt. It's not just spending money to throw it away at transgender opera in Peru or something. That's whether you get roads or bridges or, you know, great things for the state. So I stand with you on that. And I, you know, it goes back to gold and silver. You don't want to tax people when they hold their money and it protects against inflation. And that's another reason we do the transactional gold. And also, you shouldn't be taxed if you're helping your state build solid infrastructure. So that's great. The second one was shareholder proposals and proxy voting. This is also near and dear to our heart because I think it's wrong for our investments to basically go against our values like ESG and DEI and all those terrible things. And you've been a real leader in fighting those at the state level. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much wrapped it up. You know, these ideas that we can do political activist stuff with investor dollars is inappropriate. Their sole fiduciary is to maximize returns for the investor. We've seen all these big, household names now, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, some of these other big bank names in the arena of activism, in the boardrooms with shareholders, investments. If I take 100 million or billions of dollars of state tax dollars and invest it to make money and say I put it into an ETF, well, then BlackRock's going to invest it into one of their ETFs. They get to vote the proxy votes with my money, and they may be voting against things that are good for Oklahoma. I mean, you know, things like the energy industry, oil and gas, our position on pro-life, DEI, and those kinds of things. And we're telling them to quit doing that. Just stay out of that arena. We'll stay out of it. You stay out of it. Focus on maximizing earnings for the investor and the shareholder, and leave the other alone.
Well, fantastic. And the third one is America First investment policy aligning with pro-business commitments. You want to talk about that?
Well, that's just, it's kind of the same thing. And we're trying to take Oklahoma dollars and invest those into Oklahoma companies and businesses that want to support Oklahoma values and the things that, that America really stands for and should stand for, and make sure that we're not investing in things that don't align with what's good economic ideas for our states and our country. We don't want to invest in CCP type investments that are doing ammunition development for China and other adversarial countries. We don't want to do business with any of these countries that aren't aligned and allies of ours. And we certainly are taking that same approach at a state level.
Liberty, security, and values, those are the things we promote. Oklahoma promotes those. What's the economic landscape right now in your state? It seems very good to me, watching from just south of your border.
It is. Oklahoma's doing fantastic. You know, the Fed's tightened up and really tried to kind of choke back the momentum in the economy, which was their goal, to get the inflation kind of ring it out. Oklahoma's pretty tough, pretty residual. We didn't slow down a lot. We saw a little tick back in our revenue, but we still have historically high revenues for the cycles, and have a lot of great diverse economic opportunities in Oklahoma. A lot of people moving into Oklahoma. I tell people it's the best kept secret that got out.
Well, we sure appreciate your leadership, and it's refreshing to hear at the treasurer level, at the executive level in the states, people that are aware of the ESG threat, people that are aware of what really drives economies out there. I looked at your press release here. We are not waiting for Washington to tell us how to invest our money. We've already made these decisions to benefit Oklahomans. We will continue to champion pro-growth policies that support our workers, our industries, and our state's economic leadership. We certainly see that also with what you're doing with transactional gold and silver. This is a big idea for Oklahoma, and you guys are on the leading edge of that right now, and appreciate all the innovative things you're doing to really drive economic growth in Oklahoma and economic liberty.
Thank you so much, Treasurer. Give our best to President Trump when you see him. Tell him hello from us.
Okay. That's great. Keep up the work on your end, and we'll keep fighting on our end.
All right. God bless you. He's a great treasurer. He really is. A former legislator, too. A banker, legislator. All the guests that we've had today. We start with Cody Maynard, representative, who is also a CPA. Then we have Sean Copeland, who worked in the Commerce Department of Oklahoma and is also a banker. All right. If you have questions or comments, reach out to us, AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. That's AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Argh!